Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Melinda Zarate here. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. It has been a little while since I actually held a live show, and I'm excited to be here with you. We've got a really interesting guest speaker who I'm going to be interviewing. I just met him recently. I've known of him for some time, actually, since I first moved to Hot Springs, Arkansas area. And he's a very creative, innovative, energetic magician. His name is Maxwell Blades. And he's going to be joining us here momentarily. And we'll learn a little bit more about his work and what brought him to the Hot Springs area, and also what he's doing now that's kind of new and very exciting, and what he has planned for the future. So I would invite any of you who would be interested to just go to his website. Again, his name is Maxwell Blades, and he's in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I am just checking to see if he has come online yet, and he has not, so we'll give him a moment to dial in when he has. We're just 1 minute in. He may be having a little bit of trouble getting into the dial-in number. So just please bear with me. And I'm texting him. Happy New Year to everyone. I certainly feel that things have kind of, something's changed. Something just energetically feels a little bit lighter, a little bit less heavy and chaotic. I'm not sure why I feel that way, because when I look around or listen to the news, which I don't much listen to the news, there's not a whole lot of evidence of chaos stopping anytime soon. But I just, maybe it's the new year, the energy of the new year, those full moons that we're right now sandwiched between, and those sorts of things. So we can all hopefully anticipate a little bit of calm would be good. A little bit of understanding, quiet, all those things. And I am not sure what is causing the delay with Maxwell coming on. Hopefully he's not having trouble with his connection. That sometimes happens. We've got fabulous technology these days, but it doesn't always work perfectly. Sometimes it can be a little tricky. So we'll just give him a few more minutes. What I think I will do in the meantime is just give you a little bit of additional information about him. His Festival of Magic and his fun show that he does. He recently reopened a historic theater that had been closed for some time in Hot Springs and did an absolutely fabulous job of the renovation. It's very period. It's beautiful. It's comfortable. The acoustics are good. Just really a remarkable job that he did with getting that finished. It was a big project, a very big project, I'm sure. And he took it upon himself to bring that beautiful cultural scene back alive just recently. I believe he just had his first his grand opening about 2 weeks ago, and is now doing his magic show there several times a week, and is an illusionist. He's really a well-known personality of Hot Springs, and his new theater is called The Malco. And he actually, as I understand it, he used the Malco Theater years ago, but it had not been renovated. Even though it's a fabulous old theater, it hadn't had any renovation work done. So he figured out a way to put it together, this beautiful piece of property, this historic building. And it's been totally remodeled from top to bottom, everything from heating and air conditioning to wiring to a brand new stage, new lighting and sound. And so it is just a really pretty amazing venue that I would encourage anyone who makes a trip to this marvelous part of our country here in the U.S. to come and see him, witness this master illusionist at work performing his unique style of magic. So, all right, I think he's on the line, and we will Hi, Maxwell, are you with me?
I am with you, and I'm so sorry to be delayed, but I was having a hard time getting out of a meeting there right quick, but I'm sorry I'm a little bit late, but yes, I am with you now.
No problem. Those things happen, and I actually was giving everyone a little bit of background on you, a bit of background, and a little bit of information about your having recently reopened the Malco Theater in Hot Springs, which is a feat you are to be commended for.
Well,
so
thank you.
You did a fabulous job. I would love it if you could maybe just tell the listeners and share with me a little bit about your story, kind of the Cliff Notes version of your background and what brought you into the world of magic and illusion, and just kind of give us the backstory.
Yeah, well, I basically became interested in magic and music as a child. I come from a long line of musicians, so I began playing the piano at a really young age, by ear, around 6 years old, 7 years old, and I always wanted to be a rock star, but I became interested in magic at age 10, 11, 12 when I saw a magic show on television. And so as time progressed, eventually right out of high school, I auditioned for a band, got the job. I was a keyboard singer in a band for 8 years. But all throughout my life, I had always performed magic as well. And even though this band was phenomenal and doing well and a couple of three records that did well, I began performing magic in front of these audiences, and they were so taken back by it that later in the years of maybe year number nine, a couple of the bandmates had decided to audition for another band, a country band of all bands. We were rockers, and they went on tour, and so I decided to go full-time in magic because I saw the effect it had on people, and I knew that there were, you know, there were a million bands in the 80s trying to make it big, but there weren't many magicians that could do the type of show that I knew that I could do. So
okay.
I I basically jumped right back into magic, full steam ahead. I started with smaller shows, and within 3 or 4 years, I had a giant show, which giant now meaning 17 cast members, and we were traveling
That's
with
big.
That show. That's big. 1994. I did the first show at a Victorian theater that was built in the 1860s for my mother. She was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. It was August 4th, 1994, and she died the week after. So I was able to say goodbye to my mother with my first big show, so which was healthy for me. So,
yeah.
You know, at that point in time, with a show that huge, you have to think, you know, I've got to get off the road. I was tired of traveling. I had a little girl, and she's 30 years old now. And so, and I have two other,
okay.
I have two other girls that are 20 and 14. But back to the story, I decided to start looking for places to put a theater in a permanent location. And we visited Hot Springs. My wife's parents actually live here. So after we thought this is a wonderful city, a great place. So we moved here and made it happen. So just through a lot of luck and drive, we ended up co-oping a deal for the Malco Theater in 1996 with the Film Institute, the Documentary Film Institute, which actually, after 12 years, sort of disintegrated and fell apart. They wanted it just for film, so I the lease was not re-upped. So I had to move out of the Malco, which was a heart-wrenching deal for me back in 2008.
I bet.
But, you know,
yeah.
you do what you got to do. I came down the street and I built a funky little 110-seat theater that was really eclectic and funky, and really it was more about close-up magic and comedy and my piano work. So I do a lot of Elton John stuff as well as the original. So, you know, after opening here, I'm very successful. I spent 8-9 years here. I'm performing 2 and 3 shows a day. So then came the opportunity to get the Malco back, and so I did. And this town is blowing up like never before.
I know.
Stores, condos, restaurants, breweries everywhere. So when this was presented to me, I thought, yeah, this will be a great opportunity.
Yeah,
I think it was perfect
timing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was in disrepair. You know, there was a lot of problems. So in that, we decided to gut the building. I mean, just go back to the core and start over with all new systems and devices and heat and air and all new wiring. We took the wall down that was put up in the 60s to make a 2-cinema theater. So we've basically taken it back to the way it was built in 1946. And we've made it as plush as we possibly could. These were my ideas, working directly with the engineers and the architects, and they pretty much drew up what I wanted. And here we are. It took us 14 months and about $1 million, but I'm a builder. I built my own house. That's what I grew up doing. So I'm very familiar with construction on a large scale. So I was there every day to oversee the program and the progress. And the entire process, so which saved me a tremendous amount of money.
Oh yeah,
but
well I
we
think
are,
you did
you know,
a fabulous job.
Well, thank you. You know, it turned out exactly what I envisioned in my brain. So now we have a state-of-the-art 310-seat Art Deco theater that was. It was a tough journey. That 14 months was much longer than we anticipated. We'd actually planned on opening in June. But we end up opening in December. But, you know, once you get into this process, you can't stop. You just got to keep forward.
Right. Yeah, and those projects always take longer than anyone anticipates or wants them to. It's just kind of the nature of the beast, doesn't it? It's just, you know, there are always surprises and things that have to be changed and figured out and all of that. So, but I will tell you that I just was so excited when I came to the theater a couple weeks ago for the first time and saw just how beautifully you've renovated it. It has such a great vibe. Comfortable. The acoustics are great. The size is perfect for, you know, for hot springs and what people are looking for. Every seat has is great. It's intimate, but yet it's big enough that you can really do something fun and special in it. And I love the fact that you brought in all of those elements of the original feeling of the theater and the original visual things, the movie posters and the decor and the old film canisters and those kinds of things. It just adds so much to it. It's really cool. Good job. Kudos.
Thank you. I wanted to keep that Art Deco feel because that, it was just such a lovely building when they built it in 46. So we kept, you know, as much as we could. The front counters mm-hmm. we kept, the brass pyramids above the concession area. Of course, we converted everything to LED, but the staircase, the chandeliers, and the old movie posters. We wanted to keep all of that intact as much as possible with bringing in the new applications as far as even keeping the marquee, the neon original that we put the digital marquee up over the mm-hmm. front areas to make it more modern because that's the way you make an old theater appear to be modern, which most old theaters do now. But
Right.
Yeah, it's very important to me to keep that Art Deco feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've really Go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say, when the Film Institute lost the building, everything in it went to auction. Well, I bought it all. So I've had this stuff in my warehouse for 10 years. I've had all these wonderful things because it was such a part of my life, and for some reason I couldn't let go of it. And it's interesting because I'm at my little theater today boxing everything up, and it's tough to let go of this little place, but it's been such a neat venue for 8 years. But nonetheless, going back home to the Malco was very cool. So
it's amazing. There's just so much potential there. You've got a great thing that you have been able to bring back to life here in this area. Really important. Let me ask, are you still in any way going to be involved with the other theater, or is that just, you know, onto a new chapter now with the Malco?
Yeah, I'm going to be just letting go of it. I've really tried and reached out to performers all over to get someone to buy me out of this building, or at least buy out the equipment and let it stay intact and put some sort of performance venue back in here. With that meaning, they would have to pay the lease, but all my lighting and sound could stay, seats could stay, all the concession items could stay. You see, it's basically a walk-in and do-a-show type venue, but I've just had no success. I've thought about putting something else in here, but to be frank, financially, the Malco is a big enough job, and we've got so much to take it. So I thought, you know, in talking to a few friends, we're down here boxing it up now. It's kind of sad, but we've just got to move on and let it go. And move on to bigger and better things. But I'm hoping that someone might take it and do something. These buildings
that'd
will
be nice.
I'm the only person downtown that has four buildings that are connected inside one to the next. But this block, the 100 block, is a really unique block. I miss the shops here. But nonetheless, there's so much development around the Malco that sometimes you just have to let go and move on.
Right. Yeah, Hot Springs is really undergoing a renaissance right now, isn't it? It's amazing. I've been here for just 2.5 years. And in that period of time, I have just seen it all, a transformation happen. It's pretty exciting stuff, isn't it?
It really is. Once the Majestic burned down and sat there for almost 2 years and they removed it, that seemed to start something here that needed to be started, and so we're at a good point. Lots of new development, a lot of new businesses, people like never before, and we're staying busy in these months when we're dead. I mean, this is January, and we're still having crowds on the weekend, which is wonderful.
Great. Yeah, that is great. So 20, just so listeners will know, Yeah.
Go ahead.
How many shows are you doing right now, and when will that change? Just so people will kind of know what you're doing.
Well, right now we're doing the weekends. Basically, in January and February, we cut just Saturday nights, but we do have several private events. Last night we did a private event where companies come in and they lease the entire theater and my performance. So, but for the public, it's just weekends till around March the 8th, and then we'll start running 6 days a week during spring break. And that'll slow down at April 15th when the track closes, the racetrack, the horse track.
Yeah. Sure.
And we'll have a six-week slow time, and then from Memorial weekend to Labor Day weekend, I will run my shows six nights a week, and I'll have a day off. Oh, my God, I'm not sure I'll know what that's like.
So what will
because
what
the little
day will
theater,
you have
there
off?
No days off.
Uh-huh. What day will
Sunday
be your day off,
off
do you know? Okay.
I'll take Sundays off, and I may even take Mondays, depending on the crowds. If they're here, I'll get on that stage anytime because it's fun. I mean, once the billing is done and the tickets are sold, I'm having fun now. That's why we work so hard to get to this point. But it's so much fun to be back on that stage. I find myself, when I left there, it was very difficult to get used to this little stage. Now I've become used to the little stage. So I'm kind of like a bird with wings. I'm learning to fly on that big stage again. As a performer, when you're in one location, you kind of come immaculated to what your environment is. But, yeah, I'm learning to be on that big stage again and have a room to run around and just have fun and jack with people and run to my piano if I want to. And of course, being able to perform those big illusions once again is a lot of fun. I love those tricks. They're phenomenal. So what I've done is taken my big show and combined it with the small show, as well as my comedic side, which really came out at the Little Theater being a one-man show. So now I'm able to put all that back together and have a more rounded and a unique show, unlike anything in America. I mean, I've seen shows all over America, and I feel like this is just as good as you'll find anywhere.
Very cool.
If not better.
If not better, well, hey, why not? That's fantastic.
That's right.
How many people are you working with right now? Are you still pretty much solo, or how big is your cast?
Oh, no. We have 12 cast members in this show. No, it's not solo at the Malco at
it's
all
big.
Because it's so big. You know, we have sound and light techs. We have backstage techs. We have two girls on stage and two young men that are on stage as well. And of course, we have a front desk crew, a concession crew. We have a bar there. So we have stepped up back to a 12, 13, 14 people being employed totally in the Malco. But, you know, it's a step up. We've really we've taken it to the point where it requires at least that many people to pull off the type show up. It's a blast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to come. It's on my to-do list over the next 30 days. I got to do it.
Oh,
I
got to
come see it. Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
So let me ask, is there any possibility that the Documentary Film Festival is going to be sort of relocating or using the Malco for the next, because we do have a growing and becoming much, much more popular, that film festival, Documentary Film Festival, and some smaller film festivals, too. I know you had one, I believe it was last weekend, which was Documentary Shorts. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's called Arkansas Shorts, and it's put on by the Valley of the Vapors, but a lot of those films are produced or directed by Jennifer Gerber, who's head of the film festival. But yes, it was a great success. It's just a one-day festival, but we sold 300 tickets. It's from 4 to 10 o'clock. Everyone had a blast. Now, the week before, we showed Loving Vincent, which is a film out of Poland, which Jen Gerber was a part of bringing here through a guy named Brian Burrell, who's a Hot Springs man who lives in Warsaw, Poland, and they made this film. It's incredible. They produced
it
a film
is.
That was hand painted by Canvas. I know you've heard about it, but it was phenomenal.
Well, I attended the first night. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Tell us a little bit about
yeah.
it. That was a wonderful. That was just a wonderful event. So if you don't mind, maybe sharing a little bit about that film that was shown.
Well, it was produced in Poland by a man, and he entailed 125 painters, 90 full-time painters. There were over 69,000 canvases painted to produce this movie, which I think each canvas was like a movement, like you would paint a cartoon. And then there were parts of it, there were hand-painted sets, and then actors would act part of it out, but just parts of it, and they went back in and painted the artist. But it took 7-8 years, I think, to produce the film. And, of course,
incredible.
It's about the last days of Vincent van Gogh's life. Yeah, and it's never been done before. It's like, wow, we're seeing something that has never been done in the history of filmmaking. So it was quite unique to watch. And, of course, we showed it again Friday night because it was so successful. So we ended up selling 500 tickets for that alone.
That's,
so we had a talk with the documentary.
Good.
It was, wasn't
good.
It?
It was absolutely wonderful. I was so impressed with what they had done artistically, and it was so unique, and it was really well done, beautiful, really thought-provoking, all of those things. So, yeah, kudos. That was a really special event. And I'm sure now you've got a theater where you can have many more of those special kinds of events in the area. Which is pretty exciting,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Well, it was. When we decided to do the Malco again and redo it, it was more about bringing a theater to downtown Hot Springs. Of course, I'm going to put my show there, but it was about having a theater and a venue where we could host movies. But to answer your question about the Documentary Film Festival, we are planning some events for next year.
Great.
Of course,
wonderful.
Two theaters, but they'll use it for some screening day, so we are in talks about that. But I really wanted to have a theater where we could host a jazz band. We could do blues. We could do dance. We could do tap. We could do ballet. We could do magic, music, comedy. And we're going to do all of the above.
Fantastic.
So
I'm so excited to hear that. Yay.
Yeah, we have to keep it busy.
Great.
Yay.
You got it. You want to make use of it.
Well, yeah, I think everyone at first thought, well, it's just going to be Maxwell Blade show, but I really had to get it across to the community and across Arkansas to know this is more about bringing a theater to downtown Hot Springs because we need a real theater. You know, we just don't have a real theater here. So,
right.
As an ambulance coming back may be loud.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's
okay.
It's about bringing
it's
other entertainment.
A live
and,
call.
You know, I just want to bring everything I can to Hot Springs. You know, I often said, I don't want to go to Vegas, so I want to bring Vegas here. So I'm going to do it in bits and pieces.
Good.
I mean, we've got some mini shows coming out of New York. I've got some old rock stars from the 80s coming in next fall and next winter. So
we're going to
bring up the level of entertainment to Hot Springs. And, of course, my shows will continue to evolve and get bigger and better and you know, in maybe 5 or 6 years, I may want to slow down with my performance and just book other acts from around the world.
Yeah.
But I'll never stop performing. I'll slow down.
I can tell you are just full of energy. Wow, it's wonderful. We are really close to running out of time, and I want to thank you, Maxwell, so much for allowing me to have this time with you to interview you, to find out a little bit more about your work, your story, and the wonderful Malco Theater that you just reopened. And I would encourage anyone listening, please go see it. Go see his show. It's just great. It's good stuff. You'll enjoy it, and you will be delighted that you did so. Thanks so much, Max. Thank you so much
Thank
for your time.
Thank you, Robbie.
Okay. All right. Everyone have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I will. Bye-bye.